Today's reading starts us off in the book of John, chapter 1, verse 1. John, chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. He came as a witness, to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, He who comes after me ranks before me, because he was before me. For from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only God who is at the Father's side, he has made him known." You know, we all have our favorite passages and favorite books of the Bible, and when it comes to the gospel accounts, I think John has to be my favorite. John had a perspective for writing his gospel that he wanted people to believe in Jesus. And because of that different focus, he accounts things a little bit differently, and the things that he includes are a little bit different. That's not to say there's any sort of a contradiction, but simply that different perspective based on what he wanted to accomplish. And so John introduces Jesus differently. You know, Matthew, you start off and you're going to get a genealogy. Matthew was writing to the Jews and he needed to establish the lineage of Jesus. But John, he goes all the way back to the beginning. And he says, in the beginning was the Word. And this is interesting to us because John is revealing to us that Jesus existed from the beginning, even before the beginning, and that Jesus has always filled this role of the Word, because it said the Word was with God and the Word was God and he was in the beginning with God. We've talked on other occasions about the fact that Jesus is the agent of creation, that all things were created through him and for him. But here John is showing us that his work has always been going on. Sometimes, you know, we see Jesus introduced in the New Testament. We know that he's prophesied from the Old Testament. And it's as if this is where the sun comes on the scene. But that's not the truth. The truth is that Jesus was and is and will be. He is an eternal being with God and was God himself. Then he talks about John the Baptist. Remember, John was a witness that he came to prepare the way for the Lord, and he was a witness at the baptism of Jesus, declaring who he was, and that he was looking for Jesus, because Jesus was before him and was greater than him. And so then John tells us that the Word became flesh, and dwelt among us, and we've seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. And then he points out that John bore witness about him, saying, "This is a he of whom I said, he who comes after me ranks before me because he was before me." All of this lines up with what Paul was writing in the Philippian letter, chapter 2, beginning in verse 5, when he said, "Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant," that is, to come in the flesh, as John mentioned, "being born in the likeness of men, And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So, they both agree with each other regarding Jesus coming and Jesus being and Jesus working. So John is not presenting something that's, you know, out of left field or strange in any way. He's just wording it differently, and he's expressing a truth to us that I think is very important for us to know, that Jesus is the Word. He didn't just come to speak the things that the Father intended, but he came as the Word itself. He delivered these things to us. And so in Jesus, we see God the Father because he reveals him to us. He shows us who God the Father is, and he shows us really a demonstration of the love that the Father has in sending his Son, and his Son having the love in order to die on that cross for us. So as John mentions in verse 18, no one has ever seen God. The only God who is at the Father's side has made him known. So this fact that no one has ever seen God, overshadowed now by the fact that even though we haven't seen God, Jesus reveals him. He shows him. He explains him. He shows us who God is in such a way that could not be done without Jesus. And so we open our understanding to know on this intimate level through Jesus Christ, our Heavenly Father. We understand him in a way that no one understood before Jesus came. There's a thought that Brother Jacob Hudgens shares regarding this passage for today, and I want to share that with you. He says, God has revealed himself in the most shocking way by becoming his creation and subjecting himself to its limitations. That's a good thought, because Jesus is the one that created all these things, and that he comes in the flesh, and yes, he does get subjected to its limitations. You know, he experiences the frailties of the flesh, he experiences the temptations of the flesh, and he experiences the limitations of the flesh. And so Jesus experienced all those things that you and I experience, including being tempted as we are, yet without sin. That's an incredible thought, because he leaves heaven, that position in which he deserves all glory and honor, and he receives all glory and honor by those beings that are in heaven. And he gives all that up in order to come in the flesh, to come like we are, to come like created beings that he himself made, in order to reveal God, to teach us, to establish the church, and to give himself for us, being the Lamb of God. I think that's an incredible thought, and it just reveals so much of the character of God, that he not only made this eternal plan for our redemption, but he was part of that plan. The Son of God had to come in the flesh and be the Lamb of God in order for that plan to be completed. He didn't come as some powerful God that would inflict vengeance on everybody, angry because they didn't accept him. Even though I wouldn't hold it against him for being angry all the times that he was tested and all the times that they rejected him, and you know, him being on the cross and them still mocking him. But he didn't, because that's not who he is. He is a loving God, and he came to accomplish a purpose, that purpose to bring about the forgiveness of sins, even for the ones that were mocking him, testing him, making fun of him, and rejecting him. Jesus brought us grace, truth, and the knowledge of God. And that should be our prayer today, that we recognize the role of Jesus, but we also recognize the truth of Jesus, and that we recognize and gain a deeper understanding of what he had to go through in order to be the Lamb of God. Thank you for listening today. Please continue in prayer that God may be with us all.